First of all, I just really just want to give thanks, first of all, for Pastor and the elders for allowing me this time up here again, and of course for Bethany and for the whole worship crew. What a wonderful job that they do, and I really want to thank them for that. Yeah. And also for you guys, a church home, a family home. Thank you so much for, you know, now that I have a split second, just to, for everything you've done for the kids that I've brought into the house and for us as a family. So thank you. I'm just going to open up today by reading a scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 4 through 8. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Okay. It says, "But God..." And forgive me, I'm reading from the King James, so yes, you can keep up accordingly. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together in Christ," amen, "by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." What a wonderful story. I'm sometimes asked about why it is that I do with what I do as a foster parent or with the different ministries and stuff that we do. And I'm going to share a little bit about that with you this morning, but from a different perspective. If we could just start in prayer, then we'll get started. Okay? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity, Lord, that you've given each and every single one of us to be in your presence. Because, Lord, it's you that we come before. It's you that we present ourselves before, the one who is the creator of all things, the originator of all things, the one who made us, Lord. And for that, we thank you. We praise you for that. We give you everything, Lord. But we're only giving back to you what it is that's yours. So thank you, Lord, for the amazing gift that you've given us. This breath, this life, this opportunity. And we want to thank you this morning for each person that's here. Let your word be preeminent, Lord. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Excuse me while I take out my young man glasses. Don't need them for reading, but I need them to see the back wall. You know, I want to share with you a very deep and theological thought about my favorite TV show. It's called Antiques Roadshow. Okay? Not so deep and theological, but But I love to watch it. The kids make fun of me all the time, you know, sitting there and watching your old man programs, you know. But you know, I sit down and I sit in front of that show and I see some pretty cool stuff, you know. I'll tell you what I mean. You see like different types of people come on the show, right? How many of you have watched that show? Okay, yeah, we've got a few people here who've watched that show. Yeah. You see different type of people on the show, and so you see some people come in, and there's this one group that's just like really confident. You know, they know what they have. They've done the research, they've done the investigation, they come in with that little extra chest poked out and their chin up, okay? Maybe even they've got it appraised before, right? And for this group of people, there's usually not too many surprises, you know? A little more, a little less than they thought, but generally in the same, you know, it's like what the market's doing now type of thing, you know? But then there's that other group of people that are also confident. And they come in there and they're like, okay, I've got this. I know what I have here. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to leave here. I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to retire. I'm going to sell it to one of these people here. It's going to be worth like $100,000 or something like that, right? Okay. And they go there. They're confident. They're paying faith in everything that they were told by their mother, or their grandfather, their parents, right? I mean, after all, this picture or this item or whatever it is has been in their family for like 400 years, right? And so they're sitting there and they're absolutely, absolutely convinced. They've spent all the years giving all this attention to this item. And they get in there and the expert walks in and he calls them up. And they're on TV, and they know that they're going to get this, you know, wonderful news. And as he starts getting into it, they start to realize, uh-oh, I might have a problem here. Can I call and cancel some vacation tickets that I just, you know? They find out that what it was that they were basing their faith in was fake. It was flawed. There's another group of people, and this group is one that's not so sure, okay? They're not so sure. And they come in and they're like, oh, I don't know, I can go either way, I'm not sure, you know, we've had it, or I just found it, or whatever the case is. But they're a little bit more humble. And if they get good news, beautiful thing. If they get bad news, well, okay, I wasn't so sure anyway, so we're okay. Right? What I want to share with you about a little bit is about my favorite group of people. Okay? This is my favorite group. These people come in, okay? And they're like pretty much 100% sure, okay, that what they have is garbage, okay? They're pretty much 100% sure. But they're looking for like a day out, you know, they want to spend some time with their friends, and maybe there's a nice ice cream place over there where the auction place is, or a nice lunch place, and they're going to go there, and they're just going to make a day out of it and have fun, and you know, but they just found it in the garbage. They found it in a dumpster. It's been sitting in the attic for 100 years, and nobody in the family wanted it. All kind of things are going on with it, right? And it's like, this thing is no big deal. It's no big deal. But I may as well get it checked out anyway, right? I mean, after all, this stuff has been through so much, right? See, maybe it's that item in that household that was thought of as being completely insignificant. It didn't mean anything. It just sat in a spot all the time. was ignored and neglected. They forgot they had it. Nobody paid attention to it. You know? Maybe it was even abandoned, taken and thrown out in somebody's garbage, put to the side. Maybe it was abused, taken and used for things that it should have never been used for, should have never been messed with, should have never been handled in that way. Maybe it was ugly, undesirable. You know, why you had this piece of garbage in my house? You know, maybe it's just something that doesn't to them have any value at all. Don't even know why it's here. Every single time they turn around, somebody's trying to go behind their back and throw it away. Maybe it's just undesirable or ordinary. You know, nothing special about it. It's just run of the mill, right? It deserves no place of value. It deserves no place of importance, right? Right? Maybe it's just old. Maybe it's just old. It's been around too long. It's been battered and abused. It's been beat up. Maybe it's just old. Thing doesn't work like it's supposed to. The paint is chipping. It's not doing any good for us anymore. It doesn't function like it's supposed to anymore, right? Not when it was young, right? Maybe it's just old. Either way, it's almost always seen as a cheap copy. Right? A cheap copy of something that really is valuable, but it's not. So they're just going to bring it on in. And they're just going to say, well, I really don't think it's worth anything, but I want a day out and I'm going to take it in anyway. A funny thing happens that you see over and over again. These people get up in front and you hear this expert, this knowledgeable person, this person studied in it for years and years and years. And see, this thing that was disregarded, that was abandoned, that was abused, that was completely messed up, forgotten about, put to the side. As soon as they bring it into that door, you hear when they get up in front of that camera, that expert says, I saw it as soon as it walked through the door. I saw it as soon as it walked through the door. I knew what it was. It was amazing. You know? They could see it from a distance. But for so many years, so many people had it and couldn't see it up close. Right? Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way life is, right? Some of you may realize by now I'm not just talking about antiques. Because, see, this is about us. And it's about the amazing value that each and every single one of us has in Christ. You know? Regardless of who you think you are and where you think you are or what you think you can't do or haven't done or are now, God has an amazing purpose for you in His plan. Do you know what that is? It's exciting. Just like the Antiques Roadshow. Just like the idea of finding out that that little plastic piece of thing that was absolutely nothing. You thought it was like plastic. And you go up there and they say, oh no, no, no. This is rhinoceros horn. You know? No, you thought it was worth like $5, maybe if it turned out to be something really good, it was 120. And they sit here and they tell you, oh no, this thing's worth like $250,000. And your eyes start crying and you're like, oh man, I didn't know it had this much value. And you see them trying to hold it in and trying to conceal themselves. You think that this little bitty rug that you've been kicked around, that the kids have been playing on, that they've been sliding across the floor on for years, is absolutely nothing, and it's a costly Persian rug, right? You see this little bitty vase that you've been putting plants in, okay, for many, many years, is a Ming vase. And you've been putting water and dirt in it. Right? And the stories go on, right? And on and on. That's why I like watching Antiques Roadshow. But as valuable as that is, that's the way that we should feel when we find out that we've been saved, that we have been created, that we have been designed by the master of the universe. Amen. See, there's a few things that go into value. All right? I'm just going to make a quick run through this verse here, okay? Just to pinpoint a few of these things for you. And then we're going to go back, and with the time we have left, we're going to kind of go through it, okay? Verse 4, it says, but God, being rich in mercy, okay? That first thing refers to the idea of the work of the Creator, of the work of the Master, of that object, or of us, right? See, he's a master at what it is he does. You know where it came from. You know whose its owner is. There's a fancy word for that in, you know, antiques ideas called provenance. Provenance. It's knowing the maker and the owner. Or owners, but in our case, owner of that item. The next thing says, rich in mercy, because, right? Rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. That's called craftsmanship. See, anybody who is really good at something, generally, it's because they love what they do. They love it. They love their craft. And because of it, they spend their time in it, with it, honing it, right? Right? Craftsmanship. That's that next important key to value. The next one has a couple of different parts to it. The way that the expert knows is by looking at the wear and tear, the age, okay? Sometimes it's wear on a certain part of the item. Sometimes is how that item has been used over the years. Certain parts are meant to give away, and the fact that it's happened, okay, it's been done. Also called the upper part of it, that's the patina, right? The patina. It shows how old it is, how long it's been sitting around. See, it's funny to think of the fact that wear and age, being beat up, can be a good thing. It doesn't seem like that so often, does it? Does it? But it's one of the ways that they can tell the value of an item. Right? It's been around. It's seen history. It's had experience. Right? Its provenance might tell it that it's been in important people's hands. And if you're a Christian, you have been in the most important person's hands, right? The patina, the condition. The next one. And raised us up with him to be seated in heavenly places. The first part, okay, the idea, okay? Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped five. And even when we were dead in our transgressions, okay, he made us alive together in Christ. You know what that one is? Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together in Christ. That's restoration. That's restoration. Right? That's one of the important things. I mean, has this item, you hear him say, you know, well, this item right now, it's in this particular condition, and it's worth this much. But if you just spend this much money and restore it, it'll be worth this much, right? Restoration. Has it been professionally restored? Right? It's another item that is important. And raised with him to be seated in heavenly places. That's an item's significance. Raised with him. It's the significance of the item. Who has it been with? Who has it been seated with? Whose home was it in? Right? The significance determines the next two things. So that in ages to come, he might show the surprising riches of his grace and kindness. That's the last two things. It's appreciation. When something has all of these other factors, the likelihood that it's going to appreciate is great. And it's also value. Right? Appreciation and value. So once again, let's go on back here. Let's start at the top. See, because once all of these things are in place, you start looking at something that's of great value. See what I'm saying? This is how the guys on Antique Roadshow, don't get me wrong, there are other factors. Yeah. We aren't going to go through all of them today. But once you get an idea of what it is that creates value, then it's a whole lot easier to tell garbage, right? From that is absolutely amazing and valuable, right? And we won't wind up in that position of making the mistake of thinking we have something that we don't, right? We'll be like that person who in humility says, you know, I'm not anything, but I'm going to trust the one who knows, right? With that, let's kind of get rolling here. But God, who is this God that we're talking about? He's the creator, the owner, the king, and the sustainer of all things. Let's not go over that too quick. There's too much fun stuff there in order to do that. The creator, he designed us. He designed this whole world in a special and an amazing way, to where it fits together in ways that all of humankind as a whole still cannot comprehend, right? I don't care how hard we're trying. We've got all of our best scientists, everybody else working on it, and we look at it and it's like, nah, I don't get it. We think we do, and when we're in private, we're like, oh yeah, well, I mean, in public, we're like, oh yeah, well, this is exactly how the world works, and it does this, and then 3 months later, we have to come back and say, well, correction. Well, this is how the world works. Correction. Well, right? We have a creator who is so intelligent, who is so powerful, who is so amazing, that all of our intelligence together does not begin to scratch the surface of the beginning of what he's done. So when you hear this term, but God, understand that the but is an announcement, okay? The but is a declarative statement of what's about to come next. Because it's important. And then it says God, the creator and the sustainer of all things. Let's never gloss over who he is, because that is where everything starts. Our security from day to day, what we believe, our comfort, and everything is based on our view of God. Let's have a rich and a powerful view of who he is. But God being, interesting thing here, okay? With this word being, it's actually reinforcing what God is. You know what this word being means? It means I am, I exist. Now, and forever. This word is an omnitemporal word, big word. But what that means is, it's timeless. The word being means all of that. It means all of that. How amazing is that? But we have to remember that what we're dealing with here is God's word. This isn't man's word, you know? This is God's word. This is what this means in the original Greek, taken from the Hebrew. It's so important to understand the richness of the word, and speaking of rich. But God being rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. That word means he's wealthy in mercy. We have a rich father. And we know good and well that we don't have to stop there. He's rich in every single thing he has, right? That's what a creator is, right? He created everything. He owns it all. He's rich in mercy. That's the idea of having pity or compassion on. We have a God who is rich in this idea of having pity and compassion on. It's somebody who looks at something else and doesn't just gloss over them. You are not glossed over by God. Anything that you're going through, he's feeling. It's an amazing thing to understand that there is nothing that we can experience that hasn't already been understood and cared for, and God's already concerned about it because He's rich in pity and compassion. He has pity on us. He has compassion on us. And that means that we can trust that whatever happens, we know that He's got our best in mind. We may not always be able to see it. We may not always be able to understand it. We may not always understand, just like we were talking about with those items, right? We may not understand what they are. We may not understand how to treat them. We may not understand how that item was made. But we understand. This verse tells us that He is wealthy in His pity and compassion for us. But it also means that we can be wealthy in our pity and compassion and our mercy for others. What a wonderful thing. See, these are riches. And we're going to get into here a little bit more exactly how rich it is, because see, on this next statement, watch this, but God being rich in mercy because of His great love. The sentence packed. Rich in mercy because of His grace. The reason why He's rich in mercy is because of His love. Okay, so we got to look at what love is, right? See, so mercy is part of love, right? This word because, let's start with it. This word means through the instrumentality of. To me, that's amazing. I love that. Through the instrumental. This word because means that. Okay? So through the instrumentality of His great love. What do you think of when you think of instrumentality? Go ahead, speak it out. What do you think of when you think of that word? Anything come to mind? There's part of that word in there that catches my attention right away.
Instrument.
Yeah. Right? Instrument. Through the instrument of His great love, in God's hands, love is an amazing instrument. It's a beautiful instrument. We can think about it as a musical instrument. We can think about it as instruments that we use throughout the day to do different things. But every instrument, okay, is meant to do one thing. It's meant to play something, right? We're talking about musical instruments for a minute, right? I like to, and this is, I don't mean to go too deep with this, but for me it's just kind of a fun thing. The notes of this instrument. What are the notes of this instrument? What are those pieces, those parts that make it up? Okay? That it plays, so to speak. Humility, patience, giving, kindness, meekness, forgiveness, truth, protection, hope, perseverance, thankfulness. All of these, to me, when I think of it this way, are the notes that make up a beautiful song. You know? These things are to be played at the right time. There's times when we need to be kind, and there's other times when we need to be protective, right? There's times when we need to have meekness or humility. And there's other times when we need to persevere through something, with somebody, helping somebody out, working through the situation, right? Through His love. These are all attributes of His love. And when all of these things come together in a life, it plays an amazing song. It's music to our ears. It's beautiful to hear. It's beautiful to see. Because this God who is rich in mercy, through His instrument of love, with which He has loved us, okay? Through His instrument of love, which He hath loved us. You know, I remember I used to read this, and I used to think that this was a duplicate statement. But it's not. What He's doing here and here is he's nailing a particular idea. Not only is there the concept of love, but He's telling us here that this is what it is that God uses to enrich us, to give us the things He needs, which He has loved us with. God has already done this. And it goes back to the very thing that we talked about to begin with. He's the Creator. He's provided for us before we needed anything in this entire world. It was here before man got here. Right? Right? You never hear even the most ardent scientists talking about, generally speaking, that humans had to arrive on Earth and figure out how to breathe. Okay, let me find some air real quick. Right? Nobody had to come here and say, okay, got to get this heart working, otherwise I'm going to die. Right? Nobody had to come here thinking about the idea of, oh man, I better find a seat and get it started. This place is barren. Man, I only have about a few days that I can live without food. I hope this seed grows quick. It was all here for us, right? It was provided. That's a loving act. Provision is one of the most loving acts that we can do for anybody, right? It's how we care for somebody else. He provided for us. He sustains us. You know, we don't have to keep this thing going. There's no hamsters on the wheel trying to get the earth to run so that it'll go around in a circle, right? He's done that for us. We don't have to figure out how to keep the circulation going around the sun, how to keep the universe in balance, how to do all of this stuff. Not only did He provide it, but He sustains it. Not only does He do it with physical things, but He does it with emotional things. Yeah. With mental things, with intellectual things. Yeah. And with spiritual things. All of it. He is the creator of it. The sustainer of it. The provider of it. And so when you're going through a day, not only don't you have to worry about the earth going, when you're having an emotional issue, guess what? Yep. He's got that covered too. Right here in His Word, He talks to us about how to have peace in Him, about how to be anxious for nothing, about how to rest in Him, about how the fact that if the birds of the air don't have to worry, if the sparrow doesn't have to worry, then neither do you. When we put our emotional problems in God's hands, He runs those too. Intellectual problems, same thing. Oh my goodness, I lost my job. I don't know how to figure out a problem at work. I've got these things that I have to figure out in school, and it's like this problem is driving me nuts, right? We stop. We commit it to Him. And the God of the universe, who created all things, creates in us an ability to be able to handle even these things. You don't believe me? Just look at history. You can look at your history, because I know most of you, He's done it for you. But you can look at history, period, and see that. Right? And so as we end, I just want to just bring to our understanding one last thing. And this was a thing that I had to deal with. And the Lord showed me one day, if anything that is valuable is going to have all kinds of trouble surrounding it. Right? There's nothing of value that doesn't have a fight, or at some point had a fight going on for it. So if there's trouble in your life today, if you've got things that are going on, it is a testament to the value that you have and have in Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for everything that You have provided for us. And Lord, we ask that even now with whoever it is that is dealing with an issue, whether it's their issues in life or their faith in and of itself, that You be clear in their lives right now. That You are the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. You strengthen them and lift them up to see You and to do Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.